particularly if you're building up a channel, you shouldn't be trying to like make like a million view video straight up with like fancy little things. Just get the format down right. Short intro, I actually don't advertise my YouTube, sorry, my Twitch channel or subscribing all that until the end usually. Just get straight to the point, hook them all into the video as quickly as possible. Get that information across that like, hey, this person knows their stuff. And then go, hey, if you're interested in knowing more, subscribe. Right. Notification bell if you want to know when it first comes out.
That's what was really kind of stood out to me as well with it is like, you are specifically creating this content for YouTube. Like this is something that you're making. Even if I couldn't even tell if you were doing it while you were live, while you were creating whatever it was. Welcome to the Becoming a Streamer podcast by Pipeline. We sit down with your favorite streamers and learn more about their journey and how they got to where they're at today. I'm your host, co-founder of Pipeline, StoneMountain64, and today we are joined by Pestily, full-time content creator based out in Australia. After leaving the military, he took a short break where he started streaming and then started taking it a little bit more seriously, which has led him to now over 300,000 subscribers on YouTube, 600,000 over on Twitch, and he's killing it. He's one of the most respected streamers in the Tarkov community, which is his main game. He raised more than $1 million for charity within a year, which was his goal. Less than that, he gets into everything in this episode, so I don't want to spoil it, but how purposefully he goes about creating his content as well as building up the community, it's truly inspiring, and there's so much to learn from him. If you want to find out more, you can find it over from him on twitch.tv/pestily. And if you want to hear more of the over now 30 incredible podcasts we have here, whether you're listening on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, you find everything over on pipeline.gg/podcast, as well as everything that we have related to streaming there. Without further ado, though, ladies and gentlemen, enjoy the episode. Pestily, dude, thank you so much for joining in on the Becoming a Streamer podcast today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, really excited to have a chance to chat with you, got to play with you. A week or two ago, that was pretty awesome.
Play Among Us, that was a bit different.
yeah, that's definitely it's definitely a great game to connect everybody though. I have been really enjoying it.
Yeah, if you killed me and then you left, you're like, oh, gotta go.
The end of it. I love my first game into it wasn't you per se, but I got executed and I was just out. I gotta just sit there for the whole duration of the game. Before we get too deep into everything though, I kind of want to get an overview. If you know somebody was gonna come to your channel and check you out, if they haven't seen you yet, where are you kind of at now with your content, what you're playing, platform, and everything?
I'd say I'm a very established streamer now. So like, yeah, you all got to have a starting point, but I've now really built up a really strong community. We're all very like-minded people, a little bit older. Escape from Tarkov was the main game I play, and generally it's older people playing it, say 25 plus usually. And a lot of like-minded people just like playing computer games and hanging out. And we do a lot of banter. It's not just about high skilled gameplay. Like we try and teach each other how to play games, but at the end of the day, it's just having a good laugh.
Yeah. I mean, that was something when I first came across you, it was, I believe earlier this year, for Escape from Tarkov, for just the massive amount of content that you had on the game, your skill level at it, even if, you know, maybe you're not the highest in terms of accuracy or whatever, but like the knowledge base that you built up on it. Was that something that you purposely did on Tarkov?
Yep, 100%. So when I first started streaming, I did it as a bit of a fun hobby thing. But then when I started taking it seriously, I realized that there weren't very many good gods out there. There was one particular person who made some gods that were pretty decent. But then I was like, oh, I think I could just study the crap out of this game and put out as many gods as possible and to the highest quality. Always to the point, try and make as much information in the shortest video possible. But there is a lot to learn on this game, and it's a very punishing game. So it works really well in my favor in that way, because people, they go, oh, I can see so-and-so play it. It looks easy or fun. And then they get in there like, this is hard. This is really hard.
The thing that always, when I saw you do the John Wick run through, just running through factory, blasting the music while you're just running through, doing all these crazy jumps where you just know where it is because you've done it so many times. And watching that as like a newer player to me was just like, I couldn't even believe it, because I'm running like so scared, dying all the time in that map. It was just like, It was such a juxtaposition that it was so crazy. I loved it. Every time you did that, I was like, oh, holy crap. And I tried to recreate it on my own, but I just died like immediately.
Back in the day when I first started playing Tarkov, there was only four maps. And Factory was like the go-to map for fast action PvP. Mm. So I played that map like all extreme. 8 hours a day, all day, every day. I used to just play that map. So the actual movement around the map and you know, where you keep your crosshair when you go around corners and all that stuff, that's all like muscle memory now. So now I just have fun with it. So how can I make it more enjoyable? You don't win those John Wick runs. If you see a highlight of one of them, there's probably three or four bad runs before it. Like it wasn't every time.
Yeah, yeah. That's the beauty of some of the videos YouTube. Too. And yeah, putting it up on YouTube in general. So what did you do then, I guess, before you got into content creation? Like, were you always toying with doing videos, or what was it your kind of prerequisite before it?
A little bit of a backstory. I served 8 years in the army, in the infantry, and then I quit the army, and I just wanted to just do stuff that I enjoy for a few months before I get a real job. And then when I started taking streaming content creation seriously, I was like, I want to make YouTube videos, but I don't know how. So I went to YouTube and searched, how do I make YouTube videos? And then I got like Adobe Premiere Pro, and I just engulfed myself into it for like 3 days straight, just all day for three days, just learned as much as I could to make a basic video. And then every time I made a video from that point onwards, I tried to do a new little skill or a new little change just to make it that little bit better. Not like, I'm not trying to rewrite the wheel. Like if there was some information out there, I'd Google it, I'd YouTube it, I'd try and find how to do stuff. And just making them that little bit better every time. And to the point where I felt like my skill set is good enough to make decent videos. So that's enough. And now I'll just pump out the content.
What point for you, if ever, was it kind of about, you know, learning some of the basics and then learning how to become more efficient with the videos and how quickly you can do it?
I think if the video is clean, it doesn't need to be all high production value. So if you can make a clean video where it's got all the information presented well, that's what they want. Production value brings more people in and holds them there more often.
Yeah.
But if you can get your information presented across, not like in the best format possible, and they're not skipping through the video trying to figure it all out.
Yeah.
Particularly if you're building up a channel, you shouldn't be trying to like make like a million view video straight up with like fancy little things. Just get the format down right. Short intro, I actually don't advertise my YouTube, sorry, my Twitch channel or subscribing all that until the end usually. Mm. Just get straight to the point, hook them all into the video as quickly as possible. Get that information across that like, hey, this person knows their stuff. And then go, hey, if you're interested in knowing more, subscribe. Right. Notification bell if you want to know when it first comes out.
Yeah, that's what was really kind of stood out to me as well with it is like, you are specifically creating this content for YouTube. Like this is something that you're making. Even if I couldn't even tell if you were doing it while you were live, while you were creating whatever it was, but like whatever the video was that came, like some of it, obviously it was live, but it was very much sense. So that was something that you were focused on from the beginning is like, okay, I'm going to make a dedicated piece of content, you know, of what people really want to see and like, make that clean and build towards that?
So I streamed 8 hours a day and then I'd edit until bedtime pretty much. I didn't really do much for the first couple of years besides that. So, but for me, I do a lot of guides. There is a couple of cheeky little things which I would highly recommend, particularly if you say something like OBS, but it's a thing called replay buffer. Yep. So I press a button on my keyboard and it records the last minute and a half. And so if I'm making a guide and I'm like, hey, there's this item over here you need to pick up, I'll go and pick up that item and press the replay buffer. Now there's a little recording saved. And then when I do the edit, I have all those recordings in a folder and I just drag that folder in and then bam, I've got everything ready for that YouTube video. Then I have to just record the actual, the talking points or the actual, you know, the main part of the video and put all those clips in there. I think that personally, that saved a lot of time learning that kind of rhythm and mm-hmm. why. That way you can actually... As a streamer as well, I can focus on streaming, but I can do stuff without people even knowing. Like I might do another playthrough of Tarkov, but the whole point of that playthrough is actually to get all the quest items re-clipped for a new video coming up or something. I don't really record too much stuff like a proper guide on stream for YouTube, unless it's right after a podcast and I want to do like a summary of the podcast. Mm-hmm. And chat get excited for that because they're like watching a YouTube video, and then they get to see the polished after effects of it because I have now, I've got editors now. One of the things I actually wish I did a lot earlier is once my YouTube got some rhythm, I invested some money into actually having an editor help me. So that way I can free up more time. But,
and get more videos out as well, right?
Well, not exactly more videos, but keeping that production value high, and I can just focus on the actual content as being the best content possible for those videos.
Gotcha. And you mentioned when you kind of started to figure it out too, you spent 3 days just tunneled in learning the program.
Yep. Yeah. Sorry, should I wait for the question?
No, I mean, like, is that something that was overwhelming to you? Like, did you have a skill set in doing anything with like photography or video or anything before that?
I had nothing at all.
Really?
I just tried to find, I searched around for a good YouTube like series of how to teach. And the one I found was about making movies. It wasn't even about, it was like really in depth, explain the program and all that. I probably wouldn't, it was a little bit more time consuming that way, but I learned the program really well. Like I'm not trying to name drop companies, not sponsored by any of them, but I think Skillshare, I think has an actual series that where you can learn like Adobe or, and some of them are really cheap to learn, like to pay for the subscriptions and that. And if you go and get on one of these, like, you know, you really just need to know how to cut, put all together and just basic transitions. You don't need to do like incredibly crazy stuff, particularly first up.
And that's the thing with a lot of these editing softwares too, is like, regardless of which one you choose, they're all pretty much the same thing. You put stuff together, you cut it, and then you export it and upload it, right? Like it kind of comes together. So then what made you choose Twitch as your first platform? Because I think you'd mentioned you were streaming and then putting up videos as well. Was that your process? Did you kind of start with Twitch and that was, or what was that like?
So I never started playing on Twitch as a career prospect. Like it was purely there to make friends. I left the army. I didn't have a lot of friends. I was just about to turn 30 and I just wanted to play computer games with people. And I thought Twitch would be a really good outlet where I could just be a little bit creative and have a little bit of fun and make some friends. The second I decided I wanted to take it as a career path, I knew Twitch has really bad discoverability. And at least for new content creators. So for me, it was like, how do I get more discovered? And I was like, YouTube. So I started really putting time and effort into YouTube and then using that YouTube following to transition people across to Twitch. And you could do that on any platform. If you're you stream on Facebook or YouTube itself, using other platforms as a way to be more discoverable. And on top of that, diversifying your content. I think the biggest lesson learned of recent history is Mixer just shutting down overnight and giving 28 days notice. Now, if Twitch was to shut down overnight and you didn't have anything else, that's your job gone. So it's like Twitch was to shut down overnight, I'd have 300,000 subscribers on YouTube that I can, you know, at least make some sort of revenue and income and have a starting point there to continue on.
That's awesome that it was, you know, kind of a conscious thing that you really made an effort for and obviously put a huge investment into in terms of just even teaching yourself how to do that in general. What point for you was it like, you know what, I do want to start taking this more seriously. Like I need to start figuring out some other ways to bring other people in and take that step.
So about 3 months in, because I said I'd take 3 to 4 months off before I actually got a proper job, I was making like $100 a month from it. But I was like, I understand the process and the system, and I wasn't putting as much time and effort into it as I could. I'm like, I spoke to my wife, she wasn't my wife at the time, but my wife, and I said, I want to give this a solid go. Give me 12 months. She was working full time. I said, give me 12 months and just let's see where it goes. And it was within 3 months, it was really taking off. I put a lot of time and effort, like my entire day, 6 days a week was fully into it until I eventually went 7 days a week. But now I'm going to start going back towards the 6 or maybe even 5 day schedule.
And what was, you know, maybe you remember, but what was kind of your rough estimate of what percentage you were putting towards actually being live and then not being live, back end work, whatever that was, whether it was YouTube, learning, you know, like anything else?
I tried to do 8 hours a day. I don't know if that's the actual where you should be sitting. I would say you should work out how you are your best self, or how long you are your best self for. So some people, it's 4 hours. I know a person, an Australian streamer, he is so like hyperactive and upbeat. But after 4 hours, he's like, boom, I'm out. Like, he cannot maintain that. So for him, 4 hours is the best time for him to be on stream. I think me, personally, it's about 8 hours. I've done some really long streams, but that's for events and stuff. But generally, 8 hours is about where I start to really get a little bit tired. And so then I put all the rest of my day into other types of content creation and stuff. So initially, that was a lot of YouTube and social media stuff and building up all that other stuff. One of the biggest things I can give as a tip is, for the first year, I had a notebook and pen next to me. And every time someone gave some sort of feedback during the stream, like, your green screen's like a little bit weird. If I could fix it there and then I would, but if it was like something like, that's something I could definitely touch up on later, I'd just write it down. And then at the end of each stream, I'd go through that. And at the end of each week, I'd make sure all of them are done. Or if I had a crazy idea, like, hey, let's do a 40-hour stream, you know, like, I'd write that down. Like, and the crazier the idea, the better, because no one has generally done those ideas because they're too crazy or, you know, too hard. Something that's too hard is probably the best thing to do, because no one else, everyone else is lazy. It's natural to be lazy and go, hey, it's too hard, I won't do that.
Well, even if it's just extreme, I mean, the thing for me that stood out, especially seeing your page when I saw you, was like, you're raising $1 million for charity this year, right? Yeah. Like, talk to me a bit about, because I've seen a lot of people asking for tips when it comes to doing a charity event or charity stream or giving, you know, like, I guess talk me a bit through your process and that, and even just explaining that for people.
So last year I did a charity event for Starlight Australia, and that was it's called Game Changers. They try and raise money over a month. In 7 days, we raised about $25,000. And I thought, holy crap, that's incredible. And then that sat on the back of my mind, because I'm a very community kind of person. Like, 8 years in the army, I was a firefighter. Like, I've always, from a big family, I was always wanting to give back. And I started thinking about how I'd be able to work with a charity. And after I did my research on Starlight Australia, I realized how good of a charity they were. And so for me, and there's some other side stories, like my best mate, his little sister passed away, and they were very included in the family, like when that all happened. And so for me, it was like, all right, I know they're a good charity. How do I make it work? I had this really cool idea about, you know how, like, you're probably the same. You've probably got like a console out the back that you never touch, and you got a heap of games sitting there. And I was like, what if we just got everyone to send in all their consoles, or, you know, just an odd game or a controller, and we have them all sent out to the hospitals? But then there was all the sanitization side of things, and it got really, really messy. And I was just like, you know what? Let's just raise money. Let's raise a really big amount of money and just go for it. So for me, it was like, all right, $1 million in a year. It's like $3,000 a day, but we'll just go hard, you know? And I made different events over the year, and we hit it in 7 months. The end of the seventh month, first day of the eighth, we hit 1.1 million. So it went really well. Some little tips that I would highly recommend is, know the charity. I get questions all the time about it. I can answer how the money is handled, their, like, all their kind of the back end side, what they do. Know your charity. Do your best to make it that you never touch a single dollar of it. So for me, it goes through Tildify. You donate, it goes to Tildify. Tildify, don't even touch the money. It goes directly to Starlight's bank account.
Yeah.
A lot of people are like, oh, this is a massive tax write-off for you. Well, for starters, they don't understand how taxes work, because it's an income anyway. But it's like, anytime you have to touch the money, it makes it messy.
Yeah.
And it's like, is he really keeping all the, giving all the money away or anything like that? Use a website dedicated that's built for it, and the money goes straight to the charity. And use the charity, or be have the charity involved in the fundraising. So Starlight have been really helpful with that. They've helped bring on sponsors to give away items. They've had videos given to me that show the sick kids doing like amazing things with the money that's used. And yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Starlight have been an amazing charity to work with.
Yeah, I remember seeing that. I was like, It's just like, it's such a mind-blowing just amount of money, but just even see it off the start, it coming together. And yeah, it was something super cool you did. And then you did some of these super long streams as well. Like, what goes into some of your preparation into doing something, you know, 24 or more hour stream in general? Because I'm kind of on the opposite end the longest stream I think I've done is like 9 hours, and I typically stream for like 4 to 5 hours at a time now.
So you've identified that 4 to 5 hours is like your like really good point. Where you're I'm done.
Even before that, I usually was just doing like 2 to 3 hours.
So long streams, I don't try and do them as much anymore. Would only recommend doing a long stream if you got it doing it for an event or some sort of like big celebration or something like that. My longest stream is 44 and a half hours. And that was when Twitch drops hit Escape from Tarkov. And I went from sitting on about 5,000 or 6,000 concurrent viewers to by the end of that stream, I was on like 75,000 to 80,000. And I think that's a, you know, like that's a hell of a drug to push you through 44 and a half hours, you know, like,
That helps you get through it.
That stream alone doubled my subscriber base on Twitch.
Wow.
You know, we're talking like 7,000 subscribers I got in that stream alone. So that's a hell of a motivational factor. But money can only do so much. Like if someone said you could do another 44 hour stream for 7,000 subscribers, I'd just be like, no, I'd rather my sleep.
That is so extreme. Not only to just be up for that long too, but to actually be like playing a game, reading chat, doing everything that's involved with all of it too. Be sitting in front of a green screen. Like there's so much that goes into it. It's like,
I was very upfront with chat. I said, this is going to be a very long stream. I'm not going to read most of your messages. I was like, you guys, I love yous. You're not getting much from me this stream. Like we had a lot of banter and fun, but sure. I also picked something in the game that was very mundane and easy to do, like run up to killer and kill him 100 times.
Right.
I was on that quest.
Yeah.
So I just kept over and over again for the whole 44 hours. And they're like, are you going to go a different map? And I'm like, nope. Like,
doing this.
It's draining. Reading chat's like reading a book, and just do that for 8 hours. It's tiring.
Yeah, especially if it's not going the way you're wanting it to go or whatever, then that can take energy out of you for a while in front of it. When you started those, did you start with Escape from Tarkov?
I did.
And I mean, obviously if you started to get some traction in a few months, you got going with it, but was there anything that stood out significantly with that as like a break that you had in terms of maybe like an initial boost to viewers? Or anything?
Yep. So with all those videos that I was making, I was getting myself to the position where I was the most knowledgeable person in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Very first break was about 3 months into after me taking it seriously, where a wipe happened, and because of all the knowledge I had and how quickly I could level, I got to all the new tasks and had all the new gear, and I started pumping out all these videos of all the new tasks, the task guides, and videos of all the new gear. And people were like, holy crap, who's this guy that's already finished all the tasks? And he's got videos on the highest level stash and all the stash upgrade unlocked and all that. And so at that point, I had like 1,000 subscribers on YouTube, and a week later I had like 5,000. And me, I'm like, whoa, like, you know, I was like, holy crap, this is amazing. So to me, that was massive. That was really, really cool. And then obviously there's been a few points, but the way it kind of works is every time there's a wipe, it just keeps growing more and more. I think there'll be a time where the game will start plateauing back down and it'll start dying off, but I think I've got a nice enough community now that they're happy to watch me play anything.
Sure.
Like if I was to jump on Call of Duty, I won't have the same viewership, but I'll still have a very healthy viewership.
Yeah. And that's incredible. And so when you're doing the videos, like, do you think that's something that you want to explore doing videos on other games as well and incorporating that into it? Are you keeping it really focused on Tarkov? And then I'll start with that.
I really like the idea of filming my own videos, but like IRL, like outside cool transitions. Like I actually think that'd be a really fun thing to do. This year, now that I'm back in Australia, I'm going to start doing that. So I've actually started two other YouTube channels. One of them was actually meant to be my travel channel for Europe, but COVID broke out and now I'm back in Australia. And so we're going to put away our fishing, outdoors, adventures and travel and four-wheel driving up on that channel. And then I've got another channel called Pestily Unmasked, which I've just started. And that's purely just going to be like banter, talking about streaming, just me just unloading crap from my mind and yeah. just using it as like a bit of a place where I can just mentally just unload onto whoever wants to watch. Say if I wanted to have it like you on as a guest and we just do an interview and I just like, I'm actually thinking about just getting a list of like, I'll say, I want to interview this person, give us some questions. And then we'll just get like, I'll ask all the random questions, not the, you know, the typical ones people have heard before. And I'm sure. just going to do like random interviews and stuff and just have fun with my content. And I think I love Tarkov. I love playing the game a lot, but you still need to enjoy what you do. And I think that's the direction I'll probably end up going more and more in the future, playing other games, banter and just having a laugh with people.
Yeah.
I'm a person, like people person. I love talking to people and having a laugh. And
yeah, I think that's what's kind of exciting about it too. It's, you know, especially if you, after you've been doing it for so long, it's fun to kind of challenge yourself and do something new, especially once you've done it so many times of whatever it is. Not that it gets, not that it's bad, but it's like, it's just fun to keep on challenging yourself, keep on doing new things. So that's really cool to see you starting some new channels with that. And do you do that with the stream as well? Like, are you bringing the stream to IRL places and things?
I just got a new IRL streaming bag that I'm going to go fishing next. When I get out of quarantine, I'm going to go fishing and IRL stream that. But I've got some money aside to buy a really fancy boat, fishing boat. And when I get back to Adelaide, so probably about in a month's time, I'm going to be going and buying a boat. And
dude, that's awesome.
Fully decked out with cameras. And then I'm going to have like an IRL fishing stream on a boat with like seven cameras. And I'm going to have someone on there to like produce it. So change the cameras and walk around.
Oh, that would be
really
sick.
I really want to put like an underwater camera. Yeah, I think it would be a lot of fun. And I, look, it might not even be successful, but I don't care because it's going to be fun. And at the end of the day, you have to enjoy life. So
there's a huge community of, you know, fishermen and everything out there. People just love fishing. People, I've never gone, but people always tell me they love it or that's what they did over the weekend or whatever. I'm sure, even if it's not the most massive thing. But even when it comes to that, like when you started doing Tarkov, like how big was the game even that you were getting into?
Oh, it was small. It was like, really small.
Did that deter you from playing it? Did you see the potential of the game and be like, this is going to be a big game? Was it just a game that you fell in love with? Like, what was your, I guess, like, how did you get so dedicated to it so early on?
I love the game. It's a very, very challenging but fun game. The combat is definitely, it's different to the majority of other games. It's like a cross between like DayZ and Call of Duty in some ways. In your armor games. So it was kind of like cool to have that survival aspect and that. So that really drawed me in. But I think as a streaming game, it's probably the best streaming game out there. You've got build up like moments. So you got a little raid and it's like, when's the fight going to happen? You've got loading screens where you can do nothing else but talk to your chat. Mm-hmm. You have inventory management where people are like, you know, they're like looking over your gear and sussing you out as a person. So it's kind of like, and then there's the teaching factor for me. So I can teach people the game as well. So because there's those different stages of a raid and that, the highs, the lows, and the loading screens and all that, as a streaming game, it's amazing. And I don't think there's not many games that you can go onto YouTube and you can literally just post a whole raid, like 30-minute raid, go straight onto YouTube and watch it from start to finish and enjoy the entire raid. Whereas a lot of other games like Call of Duty, so I might cut out like certain parts of the raid.
Sure.
Because it's kind of like you only want to see the action points and how many kills they get. Whereas Tarkov kind of tells a story within its own raid, which works really well. I don't post full raids very often, but you can get away with it.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And that was something that I noticed quickly too, and just myself starting to watch it and then starting to try it. And people, like, I didn't understand so much about it, but you're right, like there's so much to teach as well that it's like it's something people can really tune in a lot on, especially too with like the Twitch drops and everything that happened too. Like it was really well put together system for the game that just helped to absolutely. So was it something that it was like you saw the game just absolutely explode off of that, or was it steadily growing before that?
I call it the ninja theory. So I put myself in the position that if Tarkov was to blow up, I'd be the person to go with it. Mm. So Ninja got himself in a position that if Fortnite was to go crazy, he'd be the guy to go with it. So that's what I did. All the 2 years in lead up to the drops, like that was me. I was like, I started out, I'd have like, 10 viewers and there'd be people there with 2,000. But over those 2 years, I just started building up more and more, and I just slowly got bigger and bigger. Not really slowly actually, but like quite quickly I got bigger and bigger. Mm-hmm. And to the point where I was like, hey, if people want to know something about this game, they're coming to me. And I would always try and push the limits. I always try and break the game. I did all the stuff that people would hate. I don't care. Like I was like, this game's here for testing at the moment. It's not finished. So like, it was like 2 hours after a wipe, for example. And before the wipe happened, I figured out a way that I could have pretty much unlimited money. And so I got to that point where I could buy Slayers off the traders and then put them straight up on the flea market. And it was 2 hours after the wipe, and I was putting them up like cheap. Like we're talking 20,000 rubles each, 30,000 rubles each. And people have it for their first quest. Yeah. So they were buying them. And I was filling up my full EOD stash of Slayers and then selling them on the flea market. They would sell instantly.
Yeah.
And then I would like just buy another set and put them up. And I made 80 million rubles in about 12 minutes. And Nikita like disabled the Slayers down to 5 per reset and then messaged me and said, make the money disappear. And I was like, this is my money. Nikita's the head developer of Escape from Tarkov, just so anyone doesn't know. Because like they couldn't believe it. Like, I knew there was flaws with the game, and I'd always be the person that would just like, I think there's an issue with this. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try and figure out what it is. And I actually found out there was issues with the flea market where you could manipulate the flea market to turn an item into like 10 times the price. And it took like 400 people, and we did it together, but we turned like 200 million rubles into about 5 billion, and some people got rich from it. I didn't. I lost money because I was, overseeing it. But we fixed it, so putting yourself in a position in the community where you can actually help the game develop and become better as well. I want the game to succeed, that also does help me. In full disclosure, it helps me if it's more successful.
Yeah.
But I love the
absolutely.
Game.
I mean, and that's something that's very clear to me is like you are building up the community in general, and yeah, it helps you too. But like, that's also you love the game, so it's really a fun win-win. Even though it is kind of you're putting in a whole bunch of work to make those videos, to do all of this, like it's clearly something you're passionate about, and like you're enjoying doing this and bringing everybody together around it. So it's really cool to see.
An interesting thing that would happen is like Shroud or Summit would play the game, and people would be like, are you annoyed that Shroud's like taking all your viewers or Summit's taking all your viewers? Mm. I'm like, no, like that's the perfect scenario. All these people come in and they see Summit and Shroud playing the game, like, oh, I'm going to give this a go. Right. So they buy the game. They play the game. They go, shit, this is hard. They go to YouTube. How do I get good at Tarkov? My videos come up. They come to me. Yeah. It's like, so if I'm not in number one spot on Twitch, it doesn't even bother me because they're just bringing more people into the category anyway, and the community grows. I actually really love promoting other streamers too, because it's kind of like you can't just have one person at the top. It's like why Tekken Shroud and Ninja over to Mixer didn't work. Mm. It's because you just have two people can't carry the whole community of Mixer.
Yeah.
But having a really big community of Tarkov, it's like I made that recently. I did a tournament for Tarkov, and I tried to get as many streamers as I possibly could. I had 100 in this tournament, and it was to promote the streamers.
Yeah.
And there's a heap of streamers that got a lot of success out of that. Like, not to go like too nitty gritty with the financials of it, but it was actually like I made less money that stream than a normal stream.
Sure.
But the category had amazing amount of people there. There was no drops. It was just a community run event.
Yeah.
And it was just an amazing event for Tarkov because all these people were like, this is hyped, and heaps of people had fun, and there's like two or three streamers that have really succeeded from it, which is amazing because they were like, like they couldn't make a living streaming before that. Now they
sure. can. That's incredible, man. That is incredible. Yeah. And to your point too, like this is something that you created. This isn't drops. This is not like a something else. This is a community driven thing for the community. It's awesome.
I think the same way about Twitch, right? And I'm not trying to like promote Twitch like crazy, but a lot of people think really internally. I think externally. How do I make Twitch bigger? So, for example, I did my last charity event. I made two spots in it. It was a 12-hour stream, and or something like that. 12-hour stream at like the 4 and 8 hour mark. I had musicians from Twitch play a performance for 10 minutes at the 4 and 8 hour mark. And so I just had they knew that it was coming. I had their stream open on my screen, and that was like literally my stream. And that's I had a 10-minute break, and that promoted them as musicians.
But yeah.
Then my chat just got like this like really cool, you know, like one was like a really talented guitarist. He's actually like world famous. And the other one was she plays guitar and piano and that, and she makes her own songs, and she's really cool as well. I just think, why not think bigger? Stop thinking like internal. Yeah. How do you make everything bigger and then you grow with it? I don't know. I've got a pretty crazy mindset of how I think the world works.
No, I absolutely love that. And that is really cool. Listen, we can keep talking for easily another 5 hours here. I like to keep these a little tighter in general, but yep. A final question for you in general. Is there any advice that you would want to give to yourself going back and, you know, looking at where you're at now, or even advice you'd give to other streamers that are out there?
Diversify as early as you can, because it increases discoverability and also job security. It's a scary job, particularly when you're smaller. Don't neglect your creativity. So if you have a crazy idea, play with it. How can I make it work? Push your boundaries on anything you think you can do, and don't focus on what other people are doing. Focus on how you can make yourself the best presenter, content creator, entertainer, and just have fun with it. And just, if it's a crazy idea, I'll chuck one more idea I've had out there is for one of the charity events, I actually paid people to be my text-to-speech, and they read out all the donations over the top of me like a real life text-to-speech person. And it was fun. It was so much fun. They want those people back for my streams every day. And just using those kind of ideas, that was just a random idea I had. Like, wouldn't it be funny if I had an impersonator as my text-to-speech person, which I did. I got one. But like, don't block out your own creativity. I never thought I was a creative person. I was 8 years in the army. I was just a big old meathead, like bodybuilder and all that stuff. Game out, and now I'm making creative content all the time and I'm having fun with it. So anyone can do it. It's just got to push yourself. It's like a muscle.
Dude, even just what you've been talking about, I already have ideas of things that I want to start doing awesome. And try some of that. That is awesome, man. Listen, if people do want to check you out more as well, best place to go. Or anything else you got going on you want to have people
Twitch
check out.
Twitch and YouTube, search Pestily. Google, search Pestily, P-E-S-T-I-L-Y.
Awesome, man.
You'll find me. And thank you so much for having me, dude. You're a legend. Hey. Like Stone Mountain City 4 was like the... If it was a content creator I knew before Twitch, it was him. This dude. I was in the army and we'd see videos come up and for PUBG and we always watched them. It's an honor and pleasure to talk to you.
Hey, much love, man. It's awesome to hear, and it's fun to hear how far content goes. I'm sure you get messages like that as well. It's a lot of fun, man. It's a lot of fun. But listen, thank you so much for joining in. And if you guys want to hear more podcasts as well, you can find them all at pipeline.gg/podcasts. Thanks so much for joining.
Thank you.